It's, I mean, it's all good.
Hello and welcome, friends, Romans, countrymen.
Wrong thing.
Wait, sorry. You're not my friends. You're just Romans and countrymen. So, good news, people. Grant's Kickstarter hit its goal. Yay. Good job. Good job.
Whatever works, right?
I mean, I think it has one more day, and it did. Like, it just cleared it. Let me see if I can find it again. I looked at it earlier today. Cleared it by $360 and still has 25 hours to go. Pretty sweet. Good job, Grant. Good job. All right, so so you guys remember we have a couple cool things coming up. First weekend of August, we've been Steranko at our cranberry store. $40 gets you in. It comes with an entry to win a sweet comic that Jim will sign. It's limited to 50 people total, and signatures are $65 per signature. There's no limit on how much. Come and hang out. It's gonna be a good time. Youngstown Comic Con was last weekend. I heard some good things about that. It was the first one under the new ownership, I believe. Still pretty cool. We have another warehouse sale coming up in August with, I believe it's 300,000 new books, or at least 100,000 new books. I know that. So come and check that out. It's going to be I believe it's the weekend of the 18th. The first email went out today. The information will be on the website hopefully tomorrow. And then we have our Geek Flea Market Labor Day edition coming up in September. And yeah, that's pretty much it coming up and stuff. It's weird, like my dogs are behind me and I can hear them, but you can't see them. Oh, this is even weirder. Lucy's licking my. You can see the shadow on my shoulder. It's really weird.
Yeah. You kind of
Oh,
you get the little bit of
this is super bizarre. So I just really like this background. I was tired of looking at my decorated wall and all my pops and shit sitting up there. So. But yeah,
Yeah, I probably have to learn to do that. I'm doing house cleaning right now because
Do
I
it,
wasn't
dog. Do
happy
it,
with
dog.
the. Wasn't happy with my setup here, so.
All good. So, I think I'm gonna put a poll up in our Facebook to see if a better time works for everybody, because it seems like since the summer kicked in, it's been very not good times for people to watch. Or people are just busy and having fun in the summer. So totally cool. I'm okay with whatever. But we'll see. We'll see. Anyway. Yeah, I guess we all right, so let's talk about some dumb shit first before we talk about comics, and then we'll talk about Secret Invasion at the end. So earlier this week it was spoiled. Firstly, let's talk about some of the Superman casting, like for people. So Nathan Fillion is going to be Guy Gardner.
Well, that's not unusual considering he voices Green Lantern in some of the animated movies.
Yeah, but like it's not. Like, I don't know. I want somebody a little bit younger, and I
I
want
can
an
get that.
actual real ginger. I don't want somebody who's gonna dye their hair ginger. I want a real ginger. So, hold on, let me see here. Okay, so David Corin Sweat is Superman, which is cool. I think that's good. I think he's a good cast. Rachel Brosnan is Lois Lane. I also say, think that's a good cast.
There's a picture of everybody, just in case anybody doesn't know who the heck they look like. Because
hold on, I can do that. I'm looking at the IMDb page, so hold on. I can just bring it up. Oops. That is not.
Looks like familiar. Wasn't he the mutant in. He was the adapting mutant.
You mean Metamorpho?
No.
Okay, so, all right, so let's just go through these guys. So this guy, totally cool. Kind of looks like Henry Cavill mixed with,
I was going to say, isn't that the guy that does the T-Mobile commercials?
I think so. Totally cool with that. Yeah.
And he played Punisher. He played Jigsaw in Punisher, did he not?
Let's find out. I'm pretty sure you're right.
Mm-hmm. I thought he played Punisher. No? I could be wrong.
I think you're wrong.
That's so weird because he looks so familiar when he started doing the T-Mobile stuff, and I'm like, where is he from? And I was like, oh, he played Jigsaw.
But, hold on, I can find that out. Or maybe it is.
Yeah.
No, that's not him. That's Ben Barnes.
He looks similar.
They do. They do. They look very similar.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
That's what threw me off. My bad.
Right. So Rachel Brosnan is Lois Lane. Very cool. I think she's going to do well. She was in Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which was awesome, as Midge. And if you haven't watched that show, you should. It's a lot of fun. It's on Amazon. I don't think I saw anybody else or anything else.
I have a question about this. What is with the redheads being Lois Lane in the movies? But she's always characterized with dark hair.
I don't think she's a redhead. I think she's blonde, sir.
But it's the light hair is what kills me.
Here she is with dark hair. So okay. Fine.
Then that'll be fine if that's the way her hair will look later.
There she is in Marvelous Mrs. Maisel with dark hair.
Okay.
Very good. I think she'd be fine. So.
Because I know it was her and what's her name that was in Batman v Superman. She's the redhead, and I'm like, that throws me off with Lois Lane.
Oh, Rachel McAdams.
Yes.
It didn't really matter to me as long as they nailed her personality. I thought she actually did very well.
It just throws you off when you're used to seeing
Isabella Merced as Hot Girl. This is going to be interesting because I've watched, this is from the Dora movie, and the Dora movie was awesome, if you guys haven't watched that.
She seems a bit thin.
She's not really that thin.
Okay.
So, and Hot Girl kind of is a little bit thin, but she's a little broad-shouldery. So, yeah, she is very athletic. We already talked about Fillion. Anthony Carrion as the Absorbing Man is pretty interesting. Here's some of the other stuff he's done. So he was in Barry, which was really good, as No-No Hank, or No-Ho Hank, which was really good. Bill and Ted Face the Music.
He played Victor Zsasz in Gotham.
Yep. Part of Gotham. And he was the Mist on Flash, the TV show. So So I think this is the first person coming from the WB section.
Okay. Who plays Mr. Terrific? Is that the dude who played
Eddie Gani?
He played X-Men First Class.
Yeah, I think he played Darwin. Not Darwin.
Is it Darwin? I thought it was Darwin.
It might be Darwin. Let's see. Jeez, how long ago was that movie? There it is. Oh, he was Darwin. Yeah.
There we go. Okay. I thought he looked familiar, and I'm like, wow, it's been a while since he's been in a...
He was on Blacklist for like almost the whole season.
Yeah.
And Blacklist Redemption and Startup, which I've never seen, but apparently went for 3 years. So I've not seen.
He's very seasoned.
He's in For All Mankind. He was awesome in For All Mankind. So cool. I'm very excited for. I'm excited, but I'm also not excited for this because like. Part of me is like, oh man, this is going to be cool. And the other part of me is like, why do we have so many people in a Superman movie? So that's my question is, what do we need all these people in a Superman movie for? Are we not going to get Lex Luthor? Is it just going to be Metamorpho as the bad guy? Like,
I don't know. Lord knows with the WB and, you know, Warner Brothers.
Metamorpho actually wasn't a bad guy, though, wasn't he? He was on the Outsiders. He was a good guy.
He is, but isn't he like? He's like that borderline anti-hero. Like he's a very vengeance-driven hero. So it's
maybe.
They may ask him at the end of the movie type deal.
Yeah.
Lord knows.
All right, so let's talk about something else that's been popping up. That's even more awkward and bizarre. And this is just ridiculous. So first off, I think it's cool that we're getting Wolverine in the yellow suit. I do. I'm a little weirded out that he has the sleeves, but whatever. It's fine. I'm just more excited about the claw space. That part is pretty cool. And I think this movie's going to end up being a little more buddy cop, which is cool.
It's Deadpool. Yeah. It's going to be silly. And anybody
you know what this is what I want. All right. This is it. I want this movie to be like Deadpool falling through the multiverse and he's just running into like a bunch of different Wolverines. I don't want this to be the only Wolverine we get.
What's his name? The YouTube screen crush was doing a thing on this, and he was like, this could be like multiverse variant hoopla, you know?
Yeah.
Because we already know he's already messed with the timeline anyway from Deadpool 2. So it's not out of the realm of this is going to get goofier. It's going to get crazier. You know, who knows? You know, we may end up getting like Hugh Jackman may not be the only Wolverine in this movie.
Right. I really kind of hope that we actually end up with the next 23 that's like adult. Like, that would be cool. Well,
isn't the girl who played her in Logan kind of grown up at this point?
Yeah, like she could totally be in this movie.
Yeah. Might as well reprise your role.
Right. The thing I'm more excited to see is this. Like, the fact that this is a 20th Century Fox thing, totally just like
destroyed.
Like, yeah. I just, it buried. I want it to be like, I hope this is like Planet of the Apes when they see the Liberty, Statue of Liberty, and they do like the, damn you did it, damn you.
It probably will be. It probably will be.
That's what I want. That's all I want from this scene. That's all. If that scene alone is like that, I could give two shits if the movie's good. Like,
well, I think this is, again, it's Deadpool. We're, Lord knows what we're going to get. I'm going to adjust this thing. Lord knows what we're going to get.
Right.
It's going to be goofy. It's going to be silly. It's breaking the fourth wall over and over and over and over again. It's going to be that. You know, yeah. And I have to say, I'm hoping it's first movie Deadpool goofy and not second movie where they took it so over the top. It kind of lost its luster a little bit.
Where it became more comedy than it did action.
Yeah.
I agree. I really want, like Deadpool 1 more vibe.
Yeah.
Not to say that I didn't enjoy 2, because there were definitely scenes that were really good in 2.
Yeah.
But 1 I thought was just a better written movie, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, but whatever. I mean, that's my opinion. Everybody's entitled to it. Sorry.
But I know since the whole thing with, oh God, we're getting Wolverine in the suit that we've always wanted him to be in. You know, I told you it, 181 shot up the, you know,
yeah.
Not that it's like needed help to boost the yeah. price, you know, because it's always an expensive book anyway. And all I'm seeing on Facebook and eBay, listing, and like, okay, you know. So yeah, if you have multiple copies of 181 and you're looking for a hot trade or get some of that FOMO, this kind of fueled that FOMO a little bit there.
Right. Yeah, I'm, like I said, I'm kind of meh on it, but we'll see. Like, I liked the suit from, was it X2, where they had like the new X-Men style, like the black leather, and he just had like the gold trim on it. Like, I love that because I love that Grant Morrison run where he's like in the leather. They're all like in the leather jackets.
I didn't mind that at all, but I think we've been wanting him to be similar to animated series outfit.
That's fair. Or
the alternative of the tan and slightly gold outfit.
The one that's like behind you on your giant poster.
Yeah. I think either one of those, like you said, what it happened this week where people are like, oh my God, it's creating excitement. I'm cool with it, especially like the last 2 years with everything kind of blah, disappointing, people not going to the superhero movies as much. Hence,
yes,
this topic is Flash is officially dumpster fire. According to the WB, you know, they pretty much just ripped it out of the movie theaters a week early than it was supposed to. Yeah.
It's gonna hit Max in like what, 2 weeks, something like that.
Yeah. So, and people were like, well, I didn't want to support because Ezra Miller. And to be fair, I get that and I understand that. He's a horrible human being. I hope he gets his life straightened out. I do.
Yep. Same.
But it's a shame that it completely ruined a movie that, in all honesty, if you just went to see it to be entertained, it was worth it.
Yeah, and that movie was all shot before the craziness, like the real craziness.
Yeah, so. Yeah. All the stuff he did was post movie,
yeah,
for the most part.
You know? All right, enough being on downers of I don't really care about the yellow suit and, you know, Ezra Miller. Let's talk about some comics. And since it's a downer, I'm going to start with a downer. Oh, can't even get this to work. There we go. Fallen Friend, Marvel. It's so do you remember when Captain Marvel died? Like, they did, like, the life of Captain Marvel.
Yes.
And it was, like, everybody was, like, at his funeral and stuff.
Yeah.
Same vibe. So, like...
But I think the difference between that and this, from what I've heard, is superheroes didn't really die.
Right.
Before Captain Marvel.
The original Captain Marvel. Yeah.
And it was such a shocker. And... to this day, it's still one of the best acclaimed books out there.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a very, even if you're not a Captain Marvel fan, you still get, I would still recommend even just reading the story itself. You know, you don't have to own a copy, but read the story itself. And it very impactful, especially for what? That was mid to late 70s?
Yeah.
So that was hard hitting at the time. Now, I think nowadays it's a little bit jaded. You know, we've all gotten accustomed to all of our superheroes kind of, there we go. That's better. Kind of having problems, this, that, and the other. And now it's kind of not a big deal. And I felt like that's the way they treated this. Plus, I kind of take that. She hasn't been in the Marvel Universe long enough to feel, you know?
I don't know, man. She's been in there for like probably close to 15 years. Maybe 12. Maybe 12. Hold on.
I was going to say, that can't be right, can it? She appeared, what, 2012? 2013?
2013. Background cameo. August 2013, first full appearance is in February 14th. So 10 years. That's pretty good.
I get comic wise, but I think pop culture wise.
Oh, no, she was in there right from the get go because that first issue was huge because it was like the first Muslim superhero, like. It was huge.
Public general, like comparative to other characters.
I think people knew who she was within the first 2 years.
Okay.
So this book was cool. Starts out, it was kind of cool, but it was a real bummer because it's basically a giant funeral. It starts out with like her immediate friends, like kind of talking, and then like they see Wolverine come in and. He actually starts speaking. He knows like some Muslim stuff, and like her dad, he sits by her dad, and he goes like, Wolverine's like, she looked just like you, and he's like, did you know my daughter, from Masjid? The no from the community. He said, I ain't really Muslim. And he's like, you spoke so beautifully. Like, where did you learn the Quran? He's like, I picked up a few phrases during my time in Madripoor. And he's like, where? And then they like cut. and then, Red Dagger shows up and they start talking. And then Carol Danvers shows up and like, they all just like super hug. And then later they showed the champions. So like the first part's written by G. Willow Wilson, the next part's Mark Waid, and it's the champions talking about stuff and her time with them. And it was kind of cool to see that because like I forgot that Cho, like Amadeus Cho and Viz were a couple, and Viz turns on her emotion chip and with the help of the Unstoppable Wasp, and the Vision's like, daughter, are you malfunctioning? Should I intercede? And she's like, I am functioning, father. You cannot help me experience sorrow. And she's just like, bawls her eyes out. And it's like really interesting to see like one of the androids grieve, for lack of a better term. Then there's Salamuddin Ahmed, who did the Avenger chunk. And this is like where Iron Man and Miles Morales and and Doctor Strange are all talking about it. And Doctor Strange is like, I could bring her back, but it's not going to be her if I do that. And like Captain America shows up like at the mosque. And then one of the Wrecking Crew guys is like outside trying to throw a, a truck or rob a truck or something, and all the Avengers walk outside. They're like, "Hey, you need to keep it down. We're having a funeral in here." And he's just like, "Cool, I'm just gonna go turn myself in." And then Peter Parker shows up, and he's like, "I don't even know how to do this." He's like running it in his head. He's like, "Mr. and Mrs. Khan, my name's Peter Parker. Your daughter was my intern." And then he's like, "No, that was Soulless." And then he's like, "My name's Peter Parker. Your daughter was my friend." And she's like, "No." And then she finally goes, "Mr. and Mrs. Khan, my name is Peter Parker. Your daughter was my hero." So that was cool. Also, I'm just letting you guys know, it is storming outside of my house right now. So if I lose power, I don't know if we're going to come back on tonight. Just, you know. But that's how it ended. So it was well written. It's just a fucking bummer. Because, like, you know, it's very, very sad. It's very, heart-wrenching. And it was very well done. I really enjoyed it.
So, all right.
I'm going to give it, I'm going to give it.
How do you do like a sad breakfast?
Sad breakfast is all the carbs possible. So it's like a six stack of pancakes with like strawberries and maple syrup, because that's how you do it. And chocolate milk, because you have to. So
yeah, gotta drown your sorrows,
right?
I'm gonna keep the sadness going here, unfortunately.
Oh no.
I read X-Men Days of Future Past, Doomsday number one. And this is like the, I don't know what it is with like the hard hitting stuff Marvel's doing with killing heroes left and right. You see the whole thing happen here. It starts out, you see Banshee. It goes by years in this. It starts out the year of the countdown till the Days of Future Past era. So this is year 28. So this is 28 years into the Days of Future Past. It's kind of narrated by Kitty Pryde.
Right.
And you see Banshee roasted in midair. Like, you just see a flare, and then his whole body just flop, like straight up, first panel right there. Then you see Angel gets grabbed by a Sentinel and just gets ripped apart. You just see these fingers coming through his body and just ripping them. Like, this is, if you want to see what happened to the X-Men in Days of Future Past, you're pretty much seeing it, and it's really sad, and like the oh my god hits you a little bit here. Cyclops is blind. Like, he doesn't have his optic powers. His optic eyes are gone. And he's like, I'll cover you. And he's shooting his gun. He gets killed next. He gets knocked into a shard of, building. He's dead. Then the children of Kitty and Colossus take him on. They get roasted. They die right in front of Kitty and Colossus trying to grab them. So right off the bat, and this is like the first five pages of the book, four or five pages of the book, you right. see like that many X-Men gone.
Crazy.
So the story goes back, like you're seeing flashbacks of what's going on. It starts with people like the where we figured Days of Future Past started, with the death of Senator Kelly. But Kitty Pryde's like, it only got worse from there, because Stryker gets voted to be the president.
Oh, wow.
Which I was like, oh, this seems very familiar in real time. And they said the this is year four. So this is 4 years into the when everything starts hitting the fan. The Mutant Control Act gets passed by Congress. They said the thing that stopped it was Matt Murdock. You see Matt Murdock arguing to the Supreme Court. And he actually, his argument actually sways the court to shut it down. Apparently, that wasn't the only thing that needed stopped. They said year six goes on. The Supreme Court repeals the 22nd Amendment to keep Stryker president for life, which, again, this is hitting some stuff that's currently being talked about in real life. And I'm like, yikes. So at this point, Stryker is releasing the Sentinels. They're roaming the U.S., watching everything, the whole nine yards. They said by year 18, the Avengers have resigned in protest, but the government creates the Defenders, which is like Iron Patriot, Nitro, like pretty much like Dark Avengers, pretty much at this point. And this is where you see like the first X-Men truly die. This happens in Connecticut. Lorna dies because Nitro explodes himself and he takes Lorna with him. So, and then it kind of goes into Washington. And you're seeing pretty much all the main mutant haters in all of X-Men history. Mm-hmm. Trask. Pretty much everybody except Wilson Fisk is in here. Because apparently they're talking about how the removal of the 22nd Amendment and Stryker removing all rights for mutants opened the door for the Sentinels to start taking over. And they're all saying it's happening. Well, Fisk asks the question even through the book. He's like, so you think the Sentinels are going to take over the whole planet? And Trask is like, I think it's already happening. So even the bad guys are already nervous at this point, and they really haven't started taking over yet. So this is well into that point. Trask goes on this TV debate with Steve Rogers, not Captain America anymore because he resigned his position. But they do kind of a Fox News style interview where he looks awesome and Steve Rogers looks like a dumbass, and it gets worse and worse. Like Spider-Man actually gets murdered in this book.
What?
They're seeing a bunch of protesters in front of the Avengers building. So Spider-Man swinging down is like, hey, look, guys, let's get out, blah, blah, blah. Well, they start calling him a mutie. Next thing you know, he's like, well, I see where this is going. He tries to get away. The crowd grabs him. They take bricks. They're smashing him in his head. Like, you're seeing the literal beatdown and death by the crowd of Spider-Man. It is insane on that end. Magneto is took all of humanity's nuclear arms and he skedaddles. Professor X is trying to tell his X-Men, we better take care of this before this makes it worse. What ends up happening is Magneto is like flying all these nukes on a plane with Mastermind escorting them. Phoenix, Kitty, and Scott are up there trying to defuse the situation. Mastermind presses certain buttons with Jean, and she psychically basically melts him. Like, this is a lot of death. As she does this, apparently she triggers the nukes on the planes. Mm-hmm. And she's like, tells Kitty, phase through the plane and you and Scott escape. I will contain the blast. She fails. The nuclear takes her out, and you see Scott, and Scott's eyes are burned from the nuclear thing. So he loses his optic thing. So you find out why, how he loses his eyesight. But that's the way the book ends.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, dang, this was a lot to take in. This was very full, really good art. You're seeing where they're plotting some very disturbing and sad imagery in this. Like I said, it kept the whole flow of the down going on this. I'm giving this like, give me waffles and pancakes intertwined. Just all the syrup. To drown your sorrows. But it is, it's a good book, though. I'm looking forward to see where they go with the next issue. But it's a really good, like, if you are into the X-Men, especially the Days of Future Past stuff, this definitely kind of opens up a lot of areas where, like, well, what happened to this X-Men and that X-Men? So you're starting to see where some of this stuff's going. So
cool. All right, my next book is Unstoppable Doom Patrol number 4. This was, I feel, is like a little bit more of a filler issue. Everybody is going to the company shrink, basically, who is Dr. Sinoco or something, but just says, call me Jerry, because it has like 4 or 5 different personalities on one body, and it just kind of gives you like a background for each character, like if you've never didn't know what the characters were or who they were, kind of gives you like their story and how they got there and why they are kind of messed up. And so I'm keeping this one pretty brief because it's really not anything super nuts. It still flowed with the rest of the story, which was good. You get to learn a little bit about the background for Beast Girl. And then, like, you know, the Beast Girl leaves and Jane comes in as chief. And you see that Jane is actually, the personality of Jane is in the mirror and is actually not happy at all that the chief personality is in control. And I'm, like, if you're reading the book, it's still good. It just was a little, like, kind of like, all right, I already knew all this stuff about these dudes, so I didn't really need it. So, it's a pretty average book. So I'm going to give it just like, like a bacon, egg, and egg sausage on a bagel sandwich.
Okay.
You know, because it was nice, concise, put together, easily digestible, and very easy for new people.
So, okay.
How about that for putting the spin on the breakfast?
Boom.
Speaking of boom, I don't know if you guys can hear the thunder in the background from my house, but it is loud as hell in here.
I was going to say, I'm looking outside.
I'm pretty sure there is hail hitting my air conditioner right now. Wow. Like, yeah, it is not pretty. So, yeah. Again, if it browns out, because there were a couple times I'm like, oh, shit. No.
All right. Next one, I did Sirens of the City, which is a new book that just came out this week from Boom Studios. First and foremost, this art is beautiful. Very Sin City-ish with the black, white, and red. So, but it's done in a very nuanced style. So really beautiful on that. It's in the 80s, like it says 1987. You see this girl going into an abortion clinic. And of course, protester gets in her face and she's like, go jump in front of the bus. And he does it. Right there, you see that she has the power to do things because her eyes glow blue, apparently. So you're seeing what this is. Then it flashes back from 2 weeks ago. And apparently, see this girl in New York City trying to find her, I guess, trying to find her real mother. I guess she blew up her adopted parents' house with just a thought. So there's just a lot of, like, the flashbacks are cool, but it's still kind of very confusing because there's a lot of black in here, so it's hard to kind of follow. And there's a lot of jumping around from regular street, regular New York to Harlem to Chelsea. Like, this is taken in, like, in the slums of the area. But apparently, like, she got pregnant by this gangsta wannabe. He still loves her, but she's like, no, I'm going to dump you before I dump you. Like, usual teenage angsty after-school special-like type stuff. So, you know, just, like, hyped up a little bit for a more modern era. She finds this rich artist, and it kind of looks like something out of cross between Kiss and The Cure. He kind of looks like he's dressed up like it. They all dress very, like, Deadly Class-ish, where they're very, you see the 80s styles really in this, which is great because each character looks really unique 80s wise. You figure out that this girl is basically a siren, like from, like, the Greek mythos. You know, just a different thing of, they're like, well, is she a fish? And she's like, no, she's got two legs and she's seems pretty normal to me, you know. But apparently, like, the streets of New York, especially in Chelsea, are gangs of vampires, demons, and gargoyles in this. This is the way the book basically ends into, and they're all fighting over this siren. So I don't know where it's going to go from here. It looks really good. Again, Boom is always, like, artistically wise, beautiful for the most, for pretty much everything. I don't know where the story will go yet. It's still very open-ended, so we'll see how it goes. I'm going to give this just a two dippy eggs with some two things of toast, maybe a strip of bacon. It's laying the foundation. I'm cool with it. The art was, like I said, amazing. But it didn't really, it was very hard to follow sometimes. But again, first issue, I'm not going to get too bad about it yet.
Right. That's good. Sounds good. It's in my pile. I haven't read it.
Yeah. I think you'll like it.
All right. My next book, my last book, is Planet of the Apes 4 by Dave Watcher and, or Walker and Dave Wacker, which I found interesting that it was two Daves. So this book shows... So where you're at in the story is that there's a giant ship filled with apes that are prisoners, and some of the people that support the apes are trying to help them escape, and then there's a bunch of people that are trying to kill the apes because of the primate flu that is killing a bunch of people. If you've watched Planet of the Apes, whatever the first one was with James Franco, like, that's where that whole thing started. This takes place in that universe. And there's some real, like, this whole issue is just action. Just action. Like, there's monkeys with guns. There's dudes who don't know how to use a bazooka. There's, like, explosions. There's apes throwing dudes off the side of a giant ship. There's a lot of angry ape faces. It's great. And you really kind of see, like it really kind of talks about, like, how people underestimate the primates and their whole being. And it's just an awesome, action-packed book. It goes very, very quickly. And then The Smartest Gorilla in the World, Part 3 at the end, is actually pretty cool, too. It's about the gorilla that was in the circus that can now talk, and the guy, he finds a map to basically, like, safe havens in England and France, and he basically tells one of the guys, I guess, to show him where to go. So that's where that one kind of takes place. But it was so good. This book has been killer since the beginning. If you like Planet of the Apes at all, you should be reading this book. I'm giving this book piece of ham, eggs, breakfast potatoes, and a cup of coffee. That's how much I like this book.
Nice.
Read the book.
Good. My final book today is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Out of Time, the Annual. It starts out, you're seeing this big, spectacular space, and you see this old turtle running through, like, this tube through space. You don't know.
Turtle. Sorry.
Well, he's old, like, by, like, several years. Like, I guess he's, like, 60 years old. You'll find that out later. Yeah. But, yeah. So he's running. Next thing you know, you see this giant shark thing take a chomp out of the space tubing. Takes the turtle's arm right off. So he's just kind of flying out in the middle of space, and he ends up landing in current New York.
And so it's turtle out of time, not turtles.
Yes. Well, it just says out of time. So
turtles in time. My bad.
You mean the bad movie. Yeah. But the old turtle finds the crew. And he's, of course, passing out from blood loss. He wakes up, I guess, like 2 weeks later. So he was pretty banged up 2 weeks. He's got a new robotic arm, thanks to Donnie. Then they ask, well, who are you? And he's like, well, I'm one of you. And Raph recognizes it as himself. So this is the first appearance of Old Man Raph.
Neat.
And Raph is like, hey, well, he's like, I can't tell you anymore because it'll mess up the timeline, this, that, and the other. He's like, but I can only talk to Donnie. So Donnie's like, okay. And Raph is like, don't do it because there's some, this seems fishy. And Donnie and Raph are, like, alone, and Raph is like, I'm sorry I have to do this, and tries to kill Donnie. Well, Donnie, of course, he has, like, a failsafe in this mechanical arm, and it shocks the living hell out of old Raph. Old Raph says, well, I guess I have to tell you what's going on is, apparently Donatello built this engine, this space, that started this whole, like, it kind of looks like the old Justice League space station type thing. And then apparently it's destroying all dimensions and the entire timeline of everything. And he has to kill Donnie to prevent this, you know, because that always solves everything, is to kill the person who starts it. And of course, you know, they're like, well, you can't do anything without this arm. He literally rips the mechanical arm out of his stump. It looked really painful, by the way. Like, the art of him doing that is cringy. He then proceeds to pretty much beat up everybody. And then he's like, finally, Donnie's like, look, he's like, I haven't even made this thing yet. I don't, you know, I'm not going to plan to. And Olraf's like, fine. He's like, I think I messed up the timeline enough anyway. He's like, I'm going to go. But he's like, just remember, Donnie, you're not God. Don't make this thing. And he just leaves. Next thing you know, you see him walking through the forest, getting attacked by a bunch of ninjas, and that's the way the book ends. It was a good little annual. I kind of hope they continue this story. This seems really interesting. I give it a solid scrambled eggs with pepperjack on top, sprinkled on top. Give me a sausage patty and a slice of bacon and some OJ, because I think this was a solid book. Well done. Once again, you know, IDW putting out the good stuff with the Ninja Turtle books. So
right. Cool. All right. So now we're gonna turn on the spoiler alert, and we're gonna talk about Secret Invasion. Because we haven't talked about Secret Invasion in four episodes. Because the last time we talked about it was the first one. This is episode 4. There are 2 to go. So if you don't want to hear about it, sayonara. See you next week. Alvida Zane. So I really, the first episode of the show was very weird for me. Like, I didn't quite know if I was going to like it. But holy shit, did the show pick up?
Like, oh, yeah. Yeah. You would almost have to at 6 episodes.
Yes.
Like, it has to go bang, 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 bang. You know?
Yeah. I really I like the change of what they did. Because obviously it's not the Secret Invasion we all know and love. It's just not. We're just all going to get over it right now. You and I, we're going to get over this right now. but it is a very good Nick Fury storyline. Yes. It felt more like a, you know, Tales of Suspense Nick Fury book. But I really like this. This was, like, the last couple episodes have just been so good. Like, they filled it out. They really pushed the idea of what's going to go on. So, the fact that we're getting Super Skrulls, which is awesome. We're getting the, you know, who do you trust? Because we now know that, the Rhodey we've seen in this is a Skrull. So then that makes me go, is Rhodey in that bunker? And if so, are we gonna have a Skrull pilot war machine? And can the Skrull pilot war machine, if it's a biometric thing, because it should technically, but just because like we noticed that Rhodey doesn't have the leg braces at all, like at all.
Yeah.
Right. So.
Well, again, this is. I like where this is going. This is very. I think this is what we all thought a Nick Fury-based series was going to be. There's not superheroes in it so far. We still may get one or two. We don't know yet. I have a feeling that we probably will get a Monica Rambeau appearance.
I can see that.
I think since like the Miss Marvels is coming back, I feel like one of the Miss Marvels is coming. We don't know who. I feel like there's got to be somebody like that to help him out.
I think Monica makes the most sense too.
Yes. Because considering what, you know, Kamala is not introduced into this yet, and Carol seems to not give a crap. So it's we don't know.
Carol's out doing other stuff, so you know we're gonna see. But
yeah, But as far as any other Avengers, you know, that's, I don't see that happening. But I like seeing the powers, and I like the fact that they're using current MCU powers, not like, oh, it's got to be like Fantastic Four where it's gonna this, that. No, no. Give me, like, I liked how they showed what Roots so far, and they showed the what is it, Exodus? Or not Exodus. What is it? The thing from Iron Man 3 where they healed each other. What is it?
Oh, Extremis.
Extremis. There you go. Sorry.
What?
EX. Something with an EX.
All of a sudden, they're just like playing like heavy metal. Like, playing like,
sorry.
Which would have been a great soundtrack for the fight scene we got in this last episode. That was awesome.
And I like how they're like, it seems like almost every leader in Europe, Eastern Europe, there is a Skrull that we saw, like the Skrull Council. We have yet to see a Skrull Queen, which I'm kind of disappointed with. I would have liked to have seen a Skrull Queen, but I understand where they're going with it. And there's still a shot that we may get certain people coming back. We might get a Marie Hill coming back. We don't know.
Yeah.
You know, she might have pulled a Nick Fury, you know, dying and coming back, you know, hence Cap Winter Soldier-esque, which I'm kind of hoping for, because I don't want them to try to recast poor Marie Hill. I feel like she's...
Yeah. I just don't know if Colby Smulders is really ready to keep going. I think she was kind of written off, like, herself. Like, I don't think she really cares anymore. Mm-hmm. So, but I enjoy her. I think she was a great cast. And I think she does well. So, yeah, I like the powers that we're seeing. This is going to sound terrible, but I want two things out of this show that I know I'm not going to get. One is I want 3D Man. Because 3D Man is the only man who can actually see Skrulls, like see through the Skrull shapeshift and see them for them. And I really somehow want the Skrull Kill Crew to come out of this. Like, whether it be all the high ranking Skrulls end up being tricked into thinking that they're cows and they just go off to graze. And like at the end of this, like, and then we just, it sets up for the Skrull Kill Crew and Fantastic Four. Like, that would be awesome, but I don't know if that's going to happen. Like, but that's all I really want out of these next two episodes. Is that bad? So.
Could be. It would make no sense, but I get where you're going.
No, it makes sense. Like, instead of them killing all the Skrulls, they just get them to believe that they're actually just cows. And that's actually how they stopped the Skrull, the Kree-Skrull War, Skrull invasion. Was Mr. Fantastic talked all the Skrulls into thinking that they were cows, and they like put them on a farm and they let them graze forever. Like, and then they slaughtered the cows. People ate the meat, and the guys who ate the meat became the Skrull Kill Crew because they got some morphing powers out of it. Do you not know this? Have you never read Skrull Kill Crew?
I'm not a big Skrull fan, so I could care less.
Like, dude, I'm the sorry. Skrull Kill Crew is amazing. So
again, Fantastic Four was not my forte. You know, I'm more mutants and, you know, mm-hmm. mutants and mystic.
I get it. But anyway, I'm going to give this show like a 3.5 out of 5 so far. Like, it's still a little slow. It's starting to really take off. I want to see him stick the landing. That's my thing right now. Because it's still kind of like, how are they going to wrap this up in 2 episodes? What's the end game? That's what I really want to know.
Yeah. I'm going to be slightly more optimistic on this one, actually, which is not, again, this is not my series. I'm not into the whole cloak and dagger and, you know, spy stuff.
Different show.
Yeah. I love James Bond, but I don't consider James Bond like cloak and dagger. More, James Bond was more, you know, I'm going to blow everything up and then I'm going to save the world type feel. So I want to see like a Super Skrull, possibly maybe Talos' daughter and Vengeance join the good guys. I'm assuming that's probably what's going to end up happening. Yeah. Especially after they tried to kill him too. So that... But I want to see where this goes. I want to see if we get maybe a, I don't know, maybe like a, I'd like to see some attachment to an Avenger or a Kang or something. But I know we probably won't get it because I feel like that's not going to happen. But then again, we did see that Skrull version of Kang in the movie, an Ant-Man movie. Mm-hmm. So it may happen yet, but I still don't know where they're going with the whole Kang Dynasty and the Secret Wars. So we'll see how it goes. But I'm going to give it like a 4 out of 5 so far. It's far better than some of the other ones as far as tone setting. Like it's not 3 episodes slow and then just this last episode was shoving everything they could in. It's slowly building momentum bit by bit. Every episode seems to be getting better and better, which I'm cool with. I want that pace. So I'm hoping these next two come to a climax of, okay, we need an Avengers, you know, maybe this is the introduction to the Thunderbolts, where they help save the world. We'll see. It's open to a couple possibilities of the projects that we're hearing about on Rumorville and the stuff that they probably plan for. So,
right. Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for it. I think it's doing well.
Yeah.
I don't think we're gonna get Thunderbolts tie-in. I think we might get like another one of the Young Avengers tie-ins, because if any of these kids, any of these Skrulls end up having a baby who's half Kree, that's Hulkling. Like,
yeah, we'll see.
And maybe it'll actually, like, what if we find out like at the end that one of them does have a kid with, like, because the Skrulls have been infiltrated for decades at this point, right?
Yes.
Because Fury's been on Saber for whatever. So what if there's a Skrull that has a kid with someone and they didn't realize that they were Kree because they were just, you know, human looking Kree? So, if we get a Hulkling at the end of this, then that's a decent lead up. Because like that, we're only missing Hulkling from Hulkling and Iron Lad. Iron Lad, I imagine, is going to somehow show up in the Iron Heart series. That's my guess. That's all we need. Everybody else has been Easter egged into everything.
That's true.
Let's see how it goes. So, but all right, cool. Well, thanks everybody for joining us this week. It's kind of a quiet week, except for the thunderstorm outside my house, and all the hail wailing off my windows and stuff. Weird that you guys couldn't hear that, because I could definitely hear it. Probably because I'm not using my super sweet condenser mic, because my wife stole it and I need to buy a new one. Because I don't think I'm getting it back. anyway, thanks again for watching. Hope you guys had a good time. Shop your local LCS If it's NDC, bonus points, high fives all around. That's about it, right? Have a good safe summer. Like, stay safe, guys.
Yep.
So, you know, don't get blown up by fireworks and shit.
That was last weekend.
right. You know what? They're still doing it because my dog's doing us every night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Same. There might be gunshots, though. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I've heard a couple shotguns in my area, definitely. But then again, I live in Podunk area, so.
Fair. I would hear that a lot more. So, but all right, guys. Thanks a lot for watching. We'll catch you next week.
See ya.